Michael Rosenbaum is a guy that you know. He played Lex Luthor on Smallville, been in a ton of movies, and he's got a new one coming out called Back in the Day. Reason he's on this very podcast, though, is that, and I say this chagriningly as a New Jersey Devils fan, he is a massive New York Rangers fan and has been dying, I know, to talk hockey. Plus, he's got a charity thing coming up with Luke Robitaille that we're going to touch on. And, Michael, welcome to the Merrick vs. Wyszynski podcast. Merrick had to punch because he's got a bad voice.
Merrick.
I know, and here's me, Greg, and we're going to converse now.
Gargle some DayQuil.
Well, we were talking about, like, the remedies. Have you ever had to do that as an actor, like, come up with some kind of a voice remedy when you had bad
voice? Oh, yeah, it's just whiskey. straight Beam or Daniels, and you clear that right up. You know, it's funny, because every time you're sick, you notice your friends are always like, just take a shot.
Yeah, no, it's true,
but
though.
It kind of works. It kind of kills anything, you know?
But that's my answer for everything. If I'm out shoveling snow, you take a shot of vodka, you feel better. If you have a head cold, you take a shot of Bushmills. If you're having a bad day at work, something in the coffee. I mean, it usually does seem to remedy a lot of
situations. And then
you
become an alcoholic, and you never have any problems, right?
Well, you push it right to the line, really, is the thing you got to do.
Exactly.
You never go over that line. Okay, so you, sir, are a native of Oceanside. Where's Oceanside, New York, by the way? Where the hell is that?
You know, it's in Long Island, and I was born there, and I really grew up in Indiana. I moved when I was 8, but my whole family are New Yorkers from the Bronx and Brooklyn, and I was a Ranger fan when I was out of the vagina. Can you say vagina on the air?
You can say vagina on the air. It's a podcast.
I mean, you're talking
absolutely.
Hockey. It's got to be people who are cool.
We are fine, yes.
Anyway, it was like right out of the womb, Rangers jersey, Giants jersey, Mets jersey, Knicks jersey. So I'm pretty much destined for failure for most of my life. However, I'm a big fan.
Well, and you left obviously before what would have inevitably happened, which is that you had been enchanted by the Islanders dynasty. You would have rejected the teachings of your parents and become an Islanders fan, most likely.
I don't
right?
think so. It's oh, okay. funny, you think that being born on Long Island, I'd be going to Nassau Coliseum and rooting for the Islanders. But, you know, we used to go to Syosset and watch the Islanders practice, and they were actually really cool, and they'd give us sticks. But I'd go home and say, man, I'm still a Ranger fan.
Yeah,
but I got
exactly.
an Islander stick.
What – who were some of your favorite Rangers growing up as a Ranger fan?
I mean – let's see. I mean, Ron Duguay. I like the old Ooh La La Sassoon days. They did those commercials for Ooh La La Sassoon. It was Ron Duguay and Beck and Greshner. Ron Greshner is probably one of my faves. You know, I like that era. You know, I like that the long hair flowing, the tough grinding hockey players back then. So I'd say so. But now, I mean, look at the Rangers now. I think they got a pretty solid squad, although they started out slow and the 9-game road trip. But I'm buddies with Lundqvist, who's like the greatest guy in the world, so I didn't like him getting a beating in the media. And I was like, he's gonna snap out of it. You can't be always great.
When
he's back and he's starting to play some good games, so
when
I'm
you
excited
say,
about the Rangers.
When you say you're buddies with Lundqvist, can you like actually like touch his hair, or is that over the line?
Well, I don't think you want to touch any man's hair if you're a man. I mean, I guess you could if you went that way, but Henrique, we're just pals, and I've been to his place in Long Island. He's got this badass town or this big penthouse and overlooks the water. And but he's like the most down to earth, grounded guy in the world. And
but that's hockey players, right? I mean, like I imagine you cross paths with many professional athletes during your years in entertainment, and hockey players are a different cut. Like they just are like the most down to earth, blue collar, chill guys.
Yeah, I it just doesn't make any sense. It's like these are two guys that will face off and beat the hell out of each other and give each other a wink like, all right, good fight. And that's it. It's over. I don't know how many times I've talked to some of my buddies, like, my buddy Sheldon. I say, Sheldon, you hate that guy? No. No, I just deserved a beating. And that was it. I mean, they seem like they're such laid-back guys. They don't want to fight. They don't want to do it. They just want to have a beer, have a good time with their friends. It's always those jokers at bars who want to mess with them,
Right.
But,
exactly.
Hockey players are definitely the coolest,
Now, I know as a young Devils fan that I cried when Valeri Zalapukin tied the tied Game 7 in the 94 conference finals.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
obviously Matteau scored in overtime. That made me
my
cry
toe,
very
–
Yeah.
Toe.
Oh, no.
The,
oh, is that, how, is that – is that
one more hill to
yeah,
climb.
Yeah, and it's Mount joke. Vancouver. Mount Vancouver, baby. Yeah, I've heard that call once or twice.
Oh, my gosh.
But
yeah, you had to be dying. It was the opposite feelings. For, you know, you and I were yeah. completely in different mindsets. I mean – That was just unbelievable. I was like, "This can't, they can't lose this. They can't lose this." And he did it. He did it twice.
Hmm.
You know, if you remember. Yeah. But yeah, that was just an unbelievable season. Messier says we will win. I mean, it's just one of those seasons, like, you know, a sports team has once in a lifetime. And it was like the Giants when they came back in the last minute to beat the Patriots. Which
right.
I mean, I'm like, the Giants. I said to my dad, the Giants never have to win again. I remember my dad saying, after the Cup and the Rangers won in 94, that's it. We don't need to win again. But now, every day, he's like, they look like crap. This is crap. I can't watch this crap anymore. I'm like, Dad, do you remember? Oh, don't listen to me.
I'm still I up until maybe – you see, and when the Devils made the 2012 final against L.A., I kind of still felt that – I felt that way, one, because I didn't really feel like it was a very good team, and I wasn't even sure how they made the final that year. But I was I mean, as crazy as it sounds – I still, 9 years later, was on a contact high from having seen my team win three Stanley Cups in a span of like seven or, you know, eight
it's
or
true.
9 years.
It's true. And that's why I find yeah. myself always rooting for the underdog. I truly do. Like this year, even in football, I'm like going, you know, it'd be nice to Seattle, to see Seattle kind of win. I like
right.
when the underdog, I hate, look, I'm not a big fan of like this when it comes to the Yankees or the football. I don't like the Cowboys, who haven't been good, but I just don't like the star in their helmet. And everybody's a Cowboy fan in the world. I just kind of like the underdogs. I like when, you know, and the Rangers have been, they've been a decent team for the last few years, but it'd be, I mean, it's been a long time. I just don't want to ever hear like 1940, like those chants again. I don't want to hear 1994.
Always the greatest.
But
you're right, though. It's like, if you're a fan of a successful team, and I think you probably get this as a Giants fan more than anything else, like, you genuinely feel okay sometimes with losing because you've seen them win. I live in D.C.
Yeah.
The Capitals are here. They've never won anything. And sometimes when the Devils fail, like they did in 2012, and I'm like, boy, that sucks they didn't win. I look around, I'm like, but you guys don't even know what winning is.
Yeah, I mean, how do the Capital fans, I mean, they always say Ovechkin's like, you know, the best, but I mean, he's obviously a great player, but what is it? Why don't the Capitals win a cup? Why aren't they even contenders? Why don't they get to that final stage? I just don't get it with that. You know, but then you say, look at the Rangers. The Rangers had a fantastic team for a couple of years, and
mm-hmm.
you know, look at they got veterans with Nash and Richards mixed in with the top defensemen with Staal and McDonough, and you got a great goaltender. Now you got a great backup goaltender. It's like you think, oh, this is they're a shoo-in, but you got a 24-20 record. You're playing Detroit, who's like, I mean, I just, when is it going to happen? When are they going to start playing like, you know, they probably should, but easier said than done, you know?
It sounds like you were one of my favorite kind of Rangers fans. You were a tortured one growing up. Like you obviously weren't in the thick of it, because I don't think you were probably in New York for the majority of the 1980s, right? You're out in
no,
out
but
Indiana,
I would always somehow find myself, you know, either watching on like a satellite dish or listening to a game on the radio. Just trying to. I mean, my dad hooked me where I watch every game now. I'm watching almost every Ranger game, and I thought about how many hours of my life I'm wasting. You know, I'm like, oh my God, another, this is 27 hours in the last 2 weeks that I've blown. We've got one win. My dad's like, why are you doing that? I'm like, why are you doing that?
It is delusional.
Hockey fans, we just got to, you know, I just like to see hockey, tell you the truth. If the Rangers are around, I go see the Kings, and, you know, it's nice that there's hockey here. You know, it's nice that there's good hockey here. They're a good team.
For sure. Were you a Tortorella guy? Were you sorry to see him go?
What's that?
Were you a John Tortorella guy? Yeah.
You know what? I mean, everybody hated this guy. I mean, I always started doing impressions of him. It's like, ask me a question of Tortorella. What do you think? I don't want to answer that question. What are you, an idiot? Are you guys done? Like, everything. I mean, he was just so uptight. He was so negative. It's just like, dude, come on. Have a smile. But I kind of liked it in a weird way. And then what do? You get rid of like the nastiest coach, the meanest coach, and then you get this new guy in there who's just like I said, you could probably take a nap with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
He's yeah.
just so laid back. They go from the sublime to the ridiculous. I don't know. It's you know, he's doing a good job, I think. I think, you know, there's respect there, and I think I think Tortorella might have been losing a little respect by the end, and I think obviously he's a great coach. He won a Stanley Cup, and But I think, you know, the players don't like to get harassed as much as he probably just laid into them. You know, it's like, you know, give us a break. We're doing our best here.
So who wore it better, your bald head on Smallville or Mark Messier's bald head?
Oh, you know, you got to go Mess, man. Mess is the ultimate. I mean, he came in there and got us a cup. I mean, he really took – it's all about leadership if you think about it, I think.
Right.
You know, you look at the great leaders, they win cups. And, you know, Messier or Lex Luthor, I mean, you know, I just play this – I play tough. He is tough. That's the difference. You know, I'm saying lines and acting like, oh, I'm the villain of the story. And he is the man. So, and also, again, the nicest guy in the world. I mean, I went on a fishing trip with him up in Queen Charlotte Island years ago, and it was a charity event. It was all the old Oilers that had, you know, won the cup, and it was Mike Keenan, and I went with Pronger, and it was just like I was deep sea fishing, and then my actor, you know, wimpy ass gets like sick on the water, you know, seasick, and I'm throwing up with Isaiah Thomas in a boat, a tugboat, on the way back to the. I mean, but yeah, he's a Messier is just a genuine guy and tough as nails too.
When Isaiah was throwing up, were you showing him the Knicks roster?
No.
Okay. Just checking. Another question, follow up. Did Pronger just elbow the fish, or was he actually using a line on the boat?
Right. So you're insinuating that Pronger was a dirty player?
Oh, no, but he was a gloriously dirty player.
He was chippy. He was like, he played tough. He's like, if you get in that corner, if you're going to go in that corner with me, I'm going to beat you down.
Right.
That was Pronger, and that was like somebody, everybody respected that. But yeah, he elbowed a few bass.
but the thing about Pronger and the Ducks all said this. I'm sorry, not the Ducks. The Flyers all said this when they acquired him. It's like there was always this thought of this guy can be a problem in the room. Like when he came to Philly, Mike Richards was the captain. They didn't need another captain there. Turns out they did. But the idea was this guy's kind of a loose cannon. And the thing you heard over and over again was, yeah, but every team needs that guy that's going to do something crazy and strike the fear of God in the other team. And watching, I mean, one of the greatest, he has, for my money, two of the greatest postseason runs for any leader that I've seen, which is when he got Edmonton to the final.
Edmonton to the finals in Anaheim.
And actually the Flyers, when they lost to Chicago.
In game 7, right?
It wasn't statistic. Like, it wasn't like he was putting up crazy numbers, but like his whole act. Remember when he stole the puck after the game and threw it in the garbage and stuff? Like, he did all of these things to be a distraction and to bring it upon himself and take the heat off his team. Those two runs for me, like, define Pronger as a leader, and the Ducks thing too as well. But that guy, listen, he's a dirty player. There's no question about that. I know there's a big I Hate Chris Pronger fan club out there, but for my money, like, you talk about top defenseman of his era.
One of the best.
Without question.
I think the guy was just he was a force. And, you know, I hate it. You watch him playing against teams, and he's just, again, he's chippy, he's a little tough. But I think you're right. You got to get things stirred up. Do you remember when, what's his name? It just blows my mind. The two brothers who played for, Vancouver, one of the guys played for, Courtnell.
Oh, yeah.
Jeff Courtnell. Do you remember I was at the game, it was in Los Angeles, it was the playoff game, and it was the Blues and Pronger played with Courtnell. And the Kings were winning like 4-0. And Courtnell did something, and he's just this dirty player, whatever it was, I don't know how dirty it was, but he did something, and it just turned the whole momentum of the game around. He was just messing with somebody, whether they had a hard hit, whatever he did. Those are the kind of things that change the game, and they get the other team out of it psychologically. So. Mm-hmm. You know, Pronger was able to do that. Yeah, he would take the puck, throw it in the trash. He would give a little cheap shot. I mean, I never thought he'd try to kill anybody, but, you know, it is hockey, so sometimes you forget, you know, rules.
I thought maybe, just maybe he tried to kill somebody at some point. But what's the vibe like out in L.A. for these games for someone like you? I mean, it's kind of cool to see the celebrity element come back to these games, and I'm sure you're probably someone who's been on the reg there, and all of a sudden, like, Beckham starts showing up, right? You're like, come on, bandwagon.
Yeah, I kind of actually got pissed off because I was like, I actually emailed somebody. I was like, can I get tickets? They're like, yeah, we don't have any more comps. I'm like, all right, well, I'll pay. Wait. And I got a little upset. I was like, wait a minute. Okay, see, do you remember when I came when the Kings couldn't win and there was like 5,000 seats available? You could actually take a nap during the game and have 4 seats to yourself.
Right.
So yeah, now I want to go, but of course that's, you know, I guess that's what happens. But I think Luke, Luke Robitaille's done a fantastic job with, with the team and the just getting, getting hockey out there and getting the celebrities there. It's all, you want people to come to the game. You want to get some excitement. I mean, New York has the Garden, and everybody's always excited. You never know who you're going to see at the Garden. And that's what he's trying to create in Los Angeles. And he has done a great job of that. You know, they're doing the big outdoor game this year. And, he asked me, he's like, you're going to get a whole bunch of your boys to come, right? I'm like, yeah. So, it's nice. It's a great arena. Staples Center is, it's fantastic to go see a game. It's no Garden. I'm not going to lie to you.
Right.
But, we definitely have a lot of fun. But, yeah, there are a lot of people who don't know shit about hockey. Can you say that on the air?
You can say that on the air, too.
they don't know shit about hockey, and they're coming to these games, and they're just, they want to be seen. They're like, hey, I'm going at a hockey game. So it's like, that's what it is. It will always be like that. But, it's –
Are you trying to insinuate that the Schnooki and JWoww from Jersey Shore don't know anything about hockey when they showed up at Staples for a Kings game?
I don't know. There might be some insinuation. I think so. But, to do that.
You mentioned Luke Robitaille. You got a celebrity shootout event coming up on January 19th.
Yes, this Sunday. I'm flying outside. I'm promoting the movie now, and then Saturday night I'll fly out to Utah, and it's for Echoes of Hope. And Luke and his wonderful wife Stacia Robitaille, they have this charity, which helps foster youth and really gives them a sense of like family by providing the tools they need, to help them, whatever they want to do. And it's a fantastic charity. And, it's really about, it's family oriented. It's like, it's kind of like Big Brother in a lot of way. It's like just being there. And so they do this charity every year at Sundance. And it's a lot of people, a lot of great players are playing. So, I mean, it's like, I think Claude Lemieux, Robitaille, Brendan Shanahan, Sean O'Donnell's coming out. It's always a bunch of actors, like David Boreanaz from Angel, and a bunch of like Michael Vartan, and it's just a lot of laughs. And I think last year they made me sing "O Canada," and I was like, I made a joke to Luke. I go, "Why don't you ever sing 'O Canada'?" And he goes, "Here's the mic in front of a packed crowd." And I'm like, but I remembered I live in Vancouver while I was shooting Smallville, and so I didn't know all the words. But I knew most of them, so it was like, "Oh, Canada," and I actually did a decent job. I don't know how I pulled it out.
If I forget the words, I just insert the words, syrup,
maybe,
or beaver,
French,
Mountie, rush, tragically hip. There's a number of words you can just kind of throw in there and hope that you're doing the right thing. Sunday, January 19th at the Park City Ice Arena in Park City, Utah. If you want to check out the shootout and the skate party, it's $30, $20 kids tickets. The youth clinic that they're holding is $75, and you can I'll tweet out the URL for the tickets because it's quite long, but it's coming
up.
That'd
be fantastic. It's a
cool event. Chris
fun.
Chelios there as well, which is always a good time.
How can I forget Chelly?
Yeah.
Chris Chelios, one of the best ever. Yeah, he's another great guy, but he'll be there. So, I mean, how do you not go hang out with all of us or them?
I see Modest Yahoo's going to be there. Is he a hockey
fan? Yeah, he kicks it, man. He is a talented man. I can't spell his name or ever say it right.
Yeah.
So I just go,
no idea.
Modest Mouse. Another man. But,
and you got it. You got a flick coming out called Back in the Day, which is, from the looks of things, fits into one of my favorite genres, which is dude comes back home and tries to relive his high school days, a.k.a. many a John Cusack comedy from the classic days, a.k.a. Just Friends, the Ryan Reynolds film I dig. Tell us about Back in the Day.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I think, more like a John Hughes meets Adam Sandler, if you can kind of combine those two. It's not as cliche because there's not the stereotypical endings and this and that, but... it is a guy who's kind of trying to find, I think all of us try to find ourselves, and I'm 41, and I'm finally figuring out what makes me happy. You got to do what makes you happy. You got to hang around the people that make you happy. And he goes back home for reunion, and he actually inadvertently falls in love with this town that he ran away from so long ago. And, it's about lost love, seeking vengeance on your old high school principal who tortured you as a kid, cruising the strip, eating at the old Pizza King. And, you got geniuses like Harlan Williams, who's one of the funniest guys I know. He plays this guy that I grew up with, Skunk. They're all based on characters I grew up with. Well, most of them. And, he's the kind of guy who's like, you know, from Dumb and Dumber. Remember him? You drinking from Grandpa's cough medicine? Drinking some of Grandpa's cough medicine? Are you there, buddy? You know, that's Harlan Williams, you know, with the old. So he's in that Nick Swartzen from Grandma's Boy and all the Sandler films, and he's absolutely hilarious. Marina Baccarin from Homeland, she's beautiful and the love interest in the movie, and just a bunch of funny people. So I got them together and made this little indie, and you know, it's hard because you're going against $50 million movies and you're this little indie $1 million movie with no publicity and advertising, and you're really using word of mouth and social media, but people are loving it. So I hope, you know, people can check it out and download it on iTunes or see it in the theater. So it's pretty exciting though.
It's available now on iTunes?
Yeah, you can download on iTunes and video on demand and all that, and you can even go to the theater and see it now. So that's what they're doing with a lot of independent movies now, where if people, you know, if it's not playing in their city, they could actually download the movie, which helps independent films.
Oh, dude, what you call it? Like the on demand stuff is insane for cinema. I mean, granted, like there's nothing beating seeing a film in a theater, but the idea of being able to catch, especially like some of the docs that are out and some of like yours, like low budget comedies and stuff that you really want to check out that you might have trouble finding or don't want to wait until, you know, Blu-ray or whatever. It's fantastic for that. And so it's really kind of revolutionized our access to films like yours. And I think
it is.
Really,
I mean, it's done wonders. And, you know, we're doing a Q&A tomorrow night at the City Walk here in Los Angeles, and the whole cast is coming, and it's just, you know, it's exciting, but it's like, you know, for those people who can't see it in either Phoenix or Orlando or New York or Seattle or any of these other cities, you can actually go, well, you know what, I could just download it right now and watch it with my friends. And so,
yeah,
it's revolutionary. It's, you know, I don't know if I could make a movie without it, an independent movie. So it's, you really just need help. You know, and a lot of these, I think a lot of people, the misconception is that all these independent movies are just real artsy and slow, and this movie back in the day is actually really fun, and it looks, you know, it looks big budget, and we got tons of great 80s and 90s music. So you remember that song by Space Hog?
Yeah, that one.
You remember that? You used to jam to that.
Oh, jammed it out, of course.
That.
Yeah, and I said to myself, how did that guy land Liv Tyler? It's inexplicable. He's got crazy bad glasses.
The guy from Space Hog dated Liv Tyler?
Yeah, I think so. I think that was his, they were together.
Wow, you know stuff others don't.
Oh, I'm very well schooled. So that. Oh, what? You thought you were getting off this podcast before I ask you a pop culture question? Here comes a Smallville-y question for you. I would not be doing my job as a geek if I don't ask you one. No, it's not going to be about the show.
Kristen Crook, I will tell you that.
All right, clear that up.
Lana Lang,
what, do you get
and
that
I, only on screen, not off screen, only in my wildest dreams.
Well, first off, it's inspiring to see that show has now inspired the way that other television shows approach their superhero
properties.
Are you saying
that everyone else is just ripping off Smallville? I think that's what you're saying.
I'm saying there's a certain element of let's keep the guy out of the costume on Arrow, for example, that was through their first season at the very least, but... The question I had for you though is about Lex. Like, assuming they're going to go that way in a Man of Steel sequel, the name that they keep throwing out there is Bryan Cranston as Lex.
I think he already turned it down. I was hearing Joaquin Phoenix, but I'm not sure that's true either. I don't know if they've you know, they've gotten to their guy. I mean, by the way, they're both geniuses. So kudos if one of those guys do it. But the big question
Cranston...
is always, so would you do it? And my answer is, well, I'm not an idiot. It's a huge motion picture but from a big studio, great director who directed 300. So, of course, I would definitely.
Cranston always seemed like a cheat because he was already bald, like on Breaking Bad. It
seen this. He's just playing that character. Yeah, that's true.
So here's the question. Like, do you have a dream, Lex, for film outside of yourself? Like, the one for me was always Spacey, and I thought he did – an amicable job in Superman Returns, even though he's just kind of like playing an extension of an older character in that movie. Is there one actor out there that you say, I wish this guy would just shave the head and be Lex?
One actor that I think would be a great Lex, is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
I mean, you know who I think's fantastic, who could do it, is like a Christian Bale.
Oh, well, yeah.
I mean, I just think that he's like one of the best actors out there. I mean, I didn't love American Hustle, but I think he's like one of the top. You know, I mean, he's just got that edge that you just need for a Lex Luthor character. You got to have that edge where you could just snap like that, you know?
Yeah.
And there's only one other guy I know who could do that, and you're talking to him. No, I'm just kidding with you. Or well, Messier. It's Mark Messier, really.
I've heard the audio of Christian Bale, and yeah, and I think he can snap pretty quickly.
Who hasn't heard that? Wow. For sure.
All right, dude. Hey, listen, you've given us more time than I could possibly want. You are a good man. We're going to pimp the charity event. We'll pimp the movie. Finally, sir, as we bid you adieu, will the New York Hockey Rangers make the playoffs this season?
I promise you, on my career, the Rangers will be in the playoffs. I even think they're going to win. I have a weird feeling. I'm telling you. They've got not only a great goaltender, they have a great backup, great defense. Look at their defensemen with Girardi, Staal, McDonough. I mean, come on. And then you got a guy like Zuccarello who's a little rat who's just whining around and finding a way to score and get, you know, chippy. Then you got the leaders, the Nash and the Richards. You look out, man. Just because they're 24-20, it doesn't mean anything. Just wait. Just wait. Rangers, baby. I can feel it.
For sure. For sure. All right.
Look, if you're Michael not a Ranger Rosen. Fan out there, still go see the movie.
No, go see the movie. Absolutely. Listen, the celebrity puckhead community needs to be supported. You need to be supported. Alan Thicke needs to be supported.
Absolutely.
Elijah Cuthbert needs to be supported. And now we have a new, I don't know if you know this, but a new addition. You probably know this as a Ranger fan, but the lovely and talented Margot Robbie from The Wolf of Wall Street has been outed as a New York Rangers fan.
Ooh,
DiCaprio's
like
wife in the movie.
She's
a huge Rangers fan. So now we have her too.
How hot is she?
smoldering, sir. Supernova, sir.
Oh,
and she is now part of the Puckhead family, the celebrity Puckhead family.
Yeah, well, good for her. Good for her.
All right, the movie is back in the day. The actor and the writer and the director and all that good stuff is Michael Rosenbaum. Thank you so much for your time, sir, and we'll catch up with you soon, and good luck with the charity event.
Thanks for having me.